Gauri Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Today we are continuing our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, The Explanation of the Vedic Path, Text Number 28. Na te mam anga jananti hridistam ya idam yatah. Ukta shastra hi asu trupo yatha nihara chakshushah. This is shastra, not shastra. Then rub that shastra. Shastra. Nate mam anga jananti ridistam ya idam yata ukta shastrahi asutripo yata nihara chakshusha. Nate mam anga jananti rudustam ya idam yatah ukta shastrahi asutrupo yata nihara chakshushah. Nate mam anga jananti ridistam ya idam yatah ukta shastrahi asutrupo yatha nihara chakshushah. Matajis. Word to word meaning. Na. Do not. Te, they, mam, me, अंग माय डियर उद्धव जानन्ति नो रिधिस्तम सीटेड विद इन द हार्ट यह हु इज इदं दिस क्रिएटेड यूनिवर्स यतः फ्रॉम हुम इट कम्स उक्त शास्त्राः हु कंसीडर्स वैदिक रिचुअल एक्टिविटीज टू बी प्रेजवर्दी और एल्स फॉर हुम देयर ओन रिचुअलिस्टिक परफॉर्मेंसेस आर लाइक द वेपन दैट किल्स द सैक्रिफिशियल एनिमल ही इंडीड असूतरूपः इंटरेस्टेड ओनली इन सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन यथा जस्ट एज निहार इन फॉग चक्षुषः दोज हुज आईज ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. My dear Uddhava, persons dedicated to sense gratification obtained through honoring the Vedic rituals cannot understand that I am situated in everyone's heart and that the entire universe is non-different from me and emanates from me. Indeed, they are just like persons whose eyes are covered by fog. Purport. The word Ukta Shastraha refers to a chanting of certain Vedic hymns by which one obtains fruitive results in this world and the next. The word Shastra also indicates a weapon. And thus Ukta Shastra also means the weapon used in Vedic sacrifice to kill the sacrificial animal. Persons exploiting Vedic knowledge for bodily gratification are slaughtering themselves with the weapon of materialistic religious principles. They are also compared to those trying to see within a dense fog. The false bodily concept of life in which one ignores the eternal soul within the body is a dense fog of ignorance that blocks our vision of God. Lord Krishna therefore begins his instruction in the Bhagavad Gita by clearing away the dense ignorance of the bodily concept of life. Religion means the law of God. The Lord's final order or law is that every conditioned soul surrender unto Him, learn to serve and love Him, and thus go back home, back to Godhead. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा गदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्री गुरु तत्पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीन इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य दामिने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज फॉर द मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास। This chapter is entitled Explanation of the Vedic Path. In this whole chapter, Uddhava is asking a question and Krishna answers. The question is that what about those who are not connected to any bona fide form of yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga? If they are not connected to bona fide form of yoga, what about them? Because these people sometimes may be inimical to Krishna himself, or their main agenda is sense gratification for which they are following a particular spiritual or a ritual process, and their mind is completely enamored by material desires. So in this, for this question, the whole chapter Krishna dedicates on how the people who are of no category connected with Krishna, they perform mere rituals to gratify their senses. And what are the characteristics of such people and what are the effects of such worship? So today is one of the series of verses which we are discussing. So more or less the theme of this whole chapter and today's verse is how one should go beyond the rituals and understand the spirit of the ritual. Actually we find very interestingly that if you find throughout the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada has given elaborate purports on how one should go beyond rituals. One should be going, understanding the purpose of everything. Like for example, Srila Prabhupada gave one example in one of his lectures. He said that if I ask one of my disciples that I want a glass of water, I am feeling thirsty. The disciple may go and he may start thinking that Prabhupada has asked me a glass of water. Why not serve Prabhupada more better? And he brings in a glass of hot milk with lot of dry fruits. So Prabhupada gave an example, is that going to serve me anyway? Because my need is now water for quenching my thirst. So the spirit is important and not just the ritual of getting some things. In this case, we'll find here that even the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada gives a brilliant purport to the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. In that instructions, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks a parable. He says about how a great astrologer, Sarvagya, he comes to meet a poor man who is very much in distress. So when he comes, the astrologer Sarvagya asks him that you look very distressed. Why are you worrying? Why are you unhappy? Do you know your father left a big treasure for you and he has left it in a very distant land? All you need to know is where the treasure is. You find it and you will be happy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving this instruction to Sanatana Goswami, and in the instructions he mentions that the Sarvagya, the astrologer, he mentions that when you go and dig, don't go to southern direction and dig there. He mentions if you go to southern direction, then there will be wasps and drones. They will rise and they will beat you, they will bite you, and they will not allow you to dig. Then you think, if no certain direction, then maybe I'll go to western direction. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that you don't, if you go and try to dig in the western direction, a ghost may come up. And he will create disturbance and he will not even allow you to dig. And if you continue to dig, then he will haunt you. Then what about the other direction, the northern direction? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if you go to northern direction, you will find a big black snake. And there, if you go, the black snake might bite you. So therefore, don't go to the southern direction, don't go to the western direction, go to the northern direction. Instead, go to the eastern direction and dig a little. You just dig a little and immediately you can get the whole big pot of the wealth, the treasure your father has left for you. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was indicating about the treasure Lord Krishna, our father, has kept for us. But in that search for that treasure while within this material world, we should be very careful of certain directions. A particular direction we should go and dig for that wealth. So each of these directions represents a particular form of worship or a ritual. Like for example, we see a southern direction. The southern direction is compared where wasps and drones may attack you. So Prabhupada mentions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was indicating the southern direction to be those rituals, the karma kanda rituals, where someone may go to those rituals to gratify their senses. And the result is that their desires become more and more overwhelming. That means, it is not that you perform a ritual, you get your desire and it's all over. After that ritual is over, you may get your desire, but then your desires increase more and more. You want more and more. So that is like wasps and drones attacking. And then the other directions, the west direction is compared to jnana kanda, which is like a speculative process. The northern direction is compared to dhyana kanda, the mystic process, the cultivation of kaivalya, merging into oneness. But the eastern direction is compared to bhakti yoga, right? By endeavoring a little in bhakti yoga, one can come on the right path. Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture and he was mentioning this point, tamaso ma jyotir gamaya. So one should come from darkness into light, right? So Prabhupada mentions that this, all the other process, karmakand, jnanakand, dhyanakand, etc., etc., they do not lead you to light. They just lead you from more darkness to semi-darkness maybe, but it's all darkness. But we need to come out of the darkness. And then in the same lecture, Prabhupada points out, very nice, devotees should have determination that they should practice Krishna consciousness so nicely, with determination, that they should make goal in their life that I need to get out of this material world in this very life and attain the spiritual world. So the whole idea, the destination, the goal of a devotee is fixed to go back to home, back to Godhead, right? And therefore he wants to avoid all this ritualistic process and focus on bhakti yoga. Someone may question that if ritual is not good, then why is ritual mentioned in the Vedas altogether? So there is a necessity, because you see, in this world not everyone is interested in pure Krishna consciousness. In fact, everyone is geared for sense gratification. Therefore, the great sage Vedvyas, through the Puranas and Mahabharat, have allured people. It's a marketing strategy. In the modern day, we can call it marketing strategy. We allure people. He allures people to the Vedas, that if you want sense gratification, might as well come to the Vedas, perform yajnas, rituals. What is the idea? That you come, you perform yajna and rituals, you will get your desires, but at the same time, you get purified, right? So that is understanding, therefore why Vedas give all the different kinds of rituals and yajnas and pujas and homas. However, there is an issue here. The issue is that people in this world are so-called intelligent that sometimes they get entangled in rituals and forget the purpose of the rituals. And that is the reason why in Bhagavatam you find Vedvyas compiled all the Puranas, Mahabharata, Itihasas, and still he was not feeling satisfied. And at that instant, Narad Muni comes in and tells him that actually you have mentioned about Krishna, but you have mentioned Krishna and pure bhakti yoga on a passing by. You are not actually focused on them. You have mentioned too many rituals and also about Krishna consciousness. So you might as well write a book which is purely Krishna conscious. And that gives the hint for Vedavyas to compile Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, in the Puranas it is mentioned that Vedavyas had compiled Bhagavatam already. It was one of the 18 Puranas, right? 6 in the mode of goodness, 6 in the mode of passion, 6 in the mode of ignorance. However, after getting instructions from Narad Muni, he picked up the whole Bhagavatam and re-edited the Bhagavatam and made it pure Amalam Puranam, pure scriptures. Now, Vedavyas asked Krishna, asked Narad Muni, that I have already mentioned about Krishna in many places. In fact, I have given the Gita also in the Mahabharata, right? So the Mahabharata is there as people may take up Mahabharata for understanding some rituals, for getting better position in this material world. And they might as well read Bhagavad Gita while going through Mahabharata. And the Puranas mentions, Narad Muni says, no, people are very clever. They may go to the whole Mahabharata and pick up only sections which interest them. And when Bhagavad Gita comes, they may reject Bhagavad Gita. It's like, you know, sometimes children, you know, they don't take medicines. So the mother or father, they put the medicine as a pill inside a rasagulla or a gulab jamun, right? And many times the child eats. But when the child understands there is a secret, there is some hidden thing inside this gulab jamun. Understanding that whole thing, the child may eat the whole gulab jamun without eating the medicine. And the mother comes, hey, you ate the medicine? And the child says, yes, I ate the whole medicine, I ate the whole gulab jamun, but I found a seed, you know. So you take the seed. That seed is the medicine. So this is how the materialistic people, they act. They don't understand the purpose. They are more interested in sense gratification. So in this case, Vedavas was instructed by Narad Muni to write and compile Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Amala Puranam. So Vedavas asked Narad Muni, but who will read Bhagavatam? Because Bhagavatam is so pure. People in this world may not appreciate Bhagavatam. Narad Muni said, don't worry. You just read, you write Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is compiled for most intelligent people. And these most intelligent people will read Bhagavatam and they will follow Bhagavatam. And the masses, they will see this most intelligent and they will follow them. We find here that the whole Bhagavatam has become popular all over the world because Srila Prabhupada took the Bhagavatam and he gave purpose to the Bhagavatam, made Bhagavatam all over the world. And we are here reading Bhagavatam, the masses, because Srila Prabhupada has told us, read Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is nectar. So this is how the whole the game plan of Sri Vyasadeva and Narad Muni is all about. How people can access the real treasure of Vedic knowledge. Why ritual is very, very much alarming? Because you find many times people who do rituals, they do not understand the purpose behind the rituals. Let's take an example. We find so many demons. They perform rituals. They look like actually a Vedic follower. But when time comes, they actually show the real true color. You see example of Ravan, Kamsa, Duryodhan, Jarasandh, Narakasur, Banasur. They are all known for their great devotion in the outside world, right? Duryodhan is known for his devotion to his guru Balaram and Durvasa Muni. Sometimes people say that he is a sish, is a great disciple of Balaramji. But actually he was not a great disciple of Balaramji. Gaur Govind Maharaj mentions in one of his books that actually Krishna and Balaram were very generous. So Balaramji gave him shelter. But that shelter was full of kapatta, was not nishkapat shelter. Because Balaramji, Duryodhan was approaching Balaramji with the idea of not surrendering, the idea of getting some favors. He wanted Balaramji's friendship. He wanted Balaram. He wanted something from Balaram. And he achieved that. And therefore Balaramji only gave what he wanted. So Duryodhan is an example. He is a great example of friendship, right? He made friendship with Karna. But that friendship also is also based on external factors. He was personally not happy with Karna, but he was tolerating Karna because he knew Karna is very important for him. In the same case, Kamsa. Kamsa looked to be very, very nice, kind of brother. He was so devoted to his own sister, Devaki, that he took the reins of Devaki's chariot and was driving Devaki's chariot to drop Devaki at his husband's house. And then what happens? Akashvani comes and true color of Kamsa comes out. The very day when Devaki is about to, has got married, and here is Kamsa immediately trying to behead Devaki on the same day. The true color comes out. There are examples of Banasur, Narakasur. The example of Banasur. Banasur, he looked to be a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but he had his own agenda why he was worshipping Lord Shiva. Very ritualistic, all the different pujas, homes, yagyas, everything he would do. And then he got so much of strength that he dares going to Lord Shiva and telling him, "Lord Shiva, I have got 1,000 arms and all my arms are itching. I need a fight. Please help me to fight." And Lord Shiva says, "You are very proud. Soon you will get your match and he will grind your pride to dust." So this is Banasur. Narakasur's example. He was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So he was in Prag, Jyotishpur. That's modern day Guwahati. And that is the place also where Kamakya Devi, she was worshipping Lord Shiva to get Lord Shiva as husband. And this guy, who is a worshipper of Lord Shiva, dares to go and tell Kamakya Devi to marry him. So this is called as a ritualistic person. He is not interested in the personality he is worshipping. He is only interested in the gains. In today's modern world also we'll see that people, they worship demigods. Not that they love demigods, but they are more, their love is not for the demigods, but their love is from the gifts they receive from demigods. Someone is worshipping Lord Ganesh, let's say. It is not like really there is a lot of love for Ganesh, unalloyed love. The whole idea is this mercantile business of what I will get from Lord Ganesh. And therefore we will find that even if there is a Ganesh temple next door to his house, he may not worship Ganesh there, but he will go all the way to a very famous, you know, where there is Swayambhu Ganesh, or where there is, Siddhi Ganesh, like that, you know. Why? Because he will stand in line for 3 hours, 4 hours to worship Ganesh. And maybe tomorrow some new Baba comes in the market who has more power, then he may go and worship the Baba, and then call the Baba as Baba Ganesh. Right? So this is called as ritualistic understanding of what this whole gamut of Vedas is all about. Ravan, we find his example. Ravan was a great worshipper of Lord Shiva. He was given a lot of advice by his own family members to not fight against Ram. But he never gave up. He always was very much attached to his ego of him being Ravan. And Jarasan, example of Jarasan is brilliant, because you see Jarasan, it is mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jarasan was worshipping Shaligram, right? And yet he was going against Krishna. So this is a real understanding. There is someone worshipping Shaligram and also going against Krishna. And Jarasan was performing Kala Bhairava Yajna, and he was capturing all kings. And the whole idea was to throw those kings and to burn them in the Yajna as Ahuti. So everything they are doing here, all the rituals, is just for the face value. There is no purpose behind those rituals. Like for example, there is one story which is mentioning that there was one temple which was run by a trust. And a trust had kept some rules. At 8:30 PM the temple will be closed. So the pujari was a paid pujari. The trustee had put a paid pujari. And every day meticulously he was like, you know, opening the doors, closing the doors, performing aarti. So 8:30 PM every day without fail he would close. And sometimes some devotees would come to temple, they would come at 8:35 PM. And they would really, 8:31 PM. And they would miss. And they would request the pujari, "Prabhuji, Pujariji, please open the door. We just came 8:31, you know." And the pujari said, "No, timing is important." And he would not open. So in this way, one particular day, a very rich man came to the temple. He also came at 8:31. He came at 8:31 and said, "Pujari, please open the door. I want to see the Lord." Sorry. And the pujari said, "No, the trustees have made a rule. 8:30 PM the temple has to close. The Lord cannot open like this. The Lord is Lord." And this rich man then bought out some few Lakshmi, you know, some money, few 500 rupees notes, and he said, this is a gift for your nice service in temple. Please accept this gift. And the pujari was said, well, we don't accept gifts, but you are giving out of so much love and devotion, how I cannot accept, you know, it's a temple also. It is mentioned in the Vedas, one should accept whatever gift, Brahmana should accept it, you know. So I'm accepting it, gift. And that guy mentioned to him that you're accepting my gift, now you're also obliged, you should serve the guest, Atithi, Devo Bho, I am Atithi in your place. So kindly open the door for 2 minutes. And now he was on a fix what to do, because if he doesn't open the door, then the money will go back again, you know, he'll take back the money. So then he opened the door, he said, don't tell anyone, okay, I'm just opening this door for you. And he opened the door for just 1 minute and closed it. And only the rich man, he saw the darshan. He went away. But somehow, maybe there are CCTV cameras. And someone saw that he opened the door at 8:35 p.m. And the complaint went to the trustees that your pujari yesterday opened the door at 8:35 p.m. for one person. This is not good. So the trustees called the pujari and said, we heard that you opened the door at 8:35 p.m. Is that right? I didn't open the door. Who opened the door? See, who can open Lord Krishna's door, Lord Narayan's door, after the door is closed? Only one who is very close to Lord Narayan, right? So Lord Narayan's own wife, Lakshmi Devi, she opened the door. You got the point? Lakshmi Devi opened the door, right? It was not that he opened the door. Lakshmi in the form of money opened the door. So this is called as ritualism, where someone is following a particular codes of closing the door, but yet making some adjustment for his own purpose. He is not ready to change the ritual for others' benefit, but for his own benefit he'll change the ritual. So that is why it is mentioned people who worship demigods for ritualistic purpose, Krishna calls them alpabuddhi. They are less intelligent. Why? Because if they come to me, everything they will get. But yet they go to demigods because they know I cannot surrender to Krishna. And they will also get a choice of demigods, whom to go, so there is not much of a demand from the demigods. They will choose a demigod where not much of regulations is there, rules are there. And accordingly they will accept. So this understanding has to be given up. The ritualistic process of Vedas are meant for elevating a person beyond those rituals. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. He tells Arjuna, please come over the three modes of material nature and the rituals which enamor you to be within the three modes. Why? Because Krishna says, one who is very much attached to ritualistic understanding, Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Aprita Chetesam. So Krishna tells to Arjuna that one who is attached to rituals, his main agenda is not the God. His main agenda is to fulfill the purpose, his own sense gratification. So bhoga aishwarya prasaktanam. Such a person will never be focused. He will be always divided in his focus. However, a person who is Krishna conscious, he will worship Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arasabha Bhritya. His focus is worship Krishna only. And such a person, because his attention is not divided, single focus, and therefore he will be able to achieve Krishna ultimately. So this understanding Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. In the scriptures also we find this beautiful shloka, Aradhito Yadi Hari Tapasya Tatakim. Naradito yadi hari tapasya tatakim, antar bahir yadi hari tapasya tatakim, nantar bahir yadi hari tapasya tatakim. What is the use of tapasya? What is the use of rituals? What is the use of yajna? If aradito yadi hari, if you are worshipping Krishna, no need of rituals. If you are not worshipping Krishna, what is the use of rituals? If you know Krishna is in your heart, what is the use of rituals? If you do not know Krishna is within your heart, what is the use of rituals? So the whole idea is the spirit behind the rituals. Right? Like Radha Gopinath too once gave a seminar. From ritual to spiritual. When you add spirit to a ritual, it becomes spiritual. So our scriptures mentions us how we should look for the spirit. Not just the law, but the spirit of the law. In the Vrindavan pastimes, we find this coming again and again. The Vrindavan gopis, the Vrindavan devotees, they are always very much focused on the spirit and not the ritual. We have so many stories in the scriptures mentioning the glories of the great devotees of Braj. In the Skanda Puran, Lord Shiva and Parvati are discussing about the glories of devotees. And of that, they mention the greatest devotees are those devotees whom Krishna also very much is eager to please. So in that whole discussion, it comes to the devotees of Vrindavan. Now there is a beautiful story which Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti also mentions in one of his books about the gopis of Vrindavan and how they were beyond rituals. They were more actually geared to please Krishna than just following the codes of religion. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti mentions in one of his books that one time Lord Krishna played his flute and called the gopis at the end of the night. So all the gopis came to meet Krishna, and immediately Krishna told the gopis, "Hey, why you come here? Why have you come here? You're all very much dedicated to your husbands, right? And you are breaking the codes of Sanatan Dharma. Dharma mentions Pativrata. I should follow your husband. You have broken that code and you have come to me in the dead of the night. This is not good." And told all the gopis, "Sit down. Today I will teach you the principles of Dharma." And he made all the gopis sit down and he told them a story. Long, long ago, there was a Brahmana and there was a Brahmani. And this Brahmana was very expert in doing yajnas. So one day he decided to do a yajna in his house, which was a very big yajna. That yajna went on for the whole day. So by the time the yajna was over, he gave his last ahuti. He became very exhausted and tired. So the Brahmana got up from the yajna fire. He called his wife. His wife was sitting there. So he said to the wife, "I am very tired. Now I am going to take some rest. Don't disturb me." And saying that, the Brahmana put his head on his wife's lap and went to sleep. So the Brahmani was like executing the order of her husband. "Don't disturb me. I am very tired." Meanwhile, the Brahmana and Brahmani, they had a small child. And he was playing around. Playing around, he went towards the direction of the yajna fire. And the lady was watching this, that child is going toward the fire. And she wanted to get up, but she was very much kind of bound by the orders of husband. She could not get up. She thought, "If I shout, then the husband will wake up. And he has told me not to disturb her, disturb him." So the child went towards the yajna and finally climbed on the yajna and it tripped and fell in the yajna. And the lady was about to shout, but she again controlled herself. But she could not stop because she was a lady, very emotional. All the tears came out of her eyes. And those tears fell on the body of Brahmana. And he got up. "What happened? Why are you crying?" And he said, "Our child has fallen in the yajna." So the Brahmana got up and went towards the yajna, only to find the child was playing on the fire, unaffected by the fire. And the Brahmana was so happy. He came back to the Brahmani, offered obeisance to the Brahmani and said, "This is the power of your Pativrata. That your Pativrata has saved our child from death." So Krishna, he spoke the whole story to the gopis to tell about the glories of Pativrata Dharma. So the gopis saw Krishna and said, "We will also tell you a story. You sit down now." So the gopis told Krishna a story. There was one a Brahmana and a Brahmani. And the Brahmani was very much devoted to her husband, the Brahmana. In fact, she would not eat anything unless she takes permission. First she would feed her husband and then only the remnant she would take. Each and every single day. That was her duty. So one day she came to know that a Brahmana was going on for a religious program for 5 days outside the village. So she was very much distressed. She said, "How can I live without you? I will not eat anything for the next 5 days. So Brahmana said, let's do something. Let's research something from the scriptures." He said, "Okay, do one thing. I found from scriptures that I will make a statue of myself. And you worship my statue every day. You offer the food to the statue. And in this way I accepted it. And then after that you can eat." So the wife agreed. And every day meticulously without fail, she would offer all whatever she cooked for the husband to the statue. And after that she would accept the remnants. So 5 days she was so busy in that ritual that she forgot the number of days passing by. On the 6th day, the husband appeared on the door. And he called, "My dear wife, what are you doing?" And the wife was saying, "Hold on, I am offering now food to your statue." Husband said, "Why are you offering to statue? I already come here." He said, no, you have told me to offer to statue. So I'm going to first offer, and after the offering is over, then I come back to you and I will attend to you." So Brahmana became very upset. He scolded her wife that you are too much attached to rituals. Who is your pati, the statue pati or the real pati? The real pati has come and you are still worshipping the statue pati. Saying this, the gopi saw Krishna and said, "Do you understand this story? This story is that we have all the rituals, all the dharmas here, but the most important dharma is the Bhagavad Dharma, which mentions that Krishna is our real husband. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. So when that Krishna is calling, then why is all these caretakers we need? Therefore we have come and we are taking shelter of you, Krishna." So this is one example of how the devotees on Vrindavan are beyond rituals. They see the spirit. Right? The spirit of the law. Like in the Vrindavan, there is a famous story of how Madhu Mangal and Pournamasi, they came to Vrindavan. It is mentioned that Madhu Mangal and Pournamasi were from Ujjain, from Sandipani Muni's ashram. But dictated by Krishna himself, they arrived in Braj. This is before Krishna was born, Krishna appeared. So they came, and Pournamasi was declared, introduced to everyone, that she is very, very, very famous. She can predict future, and her son Madhu Mangal is also very famous. If you please them, you get everything. So Madhu Mangal immediately bounced and said, "I like laddus. If anyone gives me laddu, I'll promise you that lady will get a son. As many laddus, that many children." So Mother Yashoda heard that, and she came running with that beautiful laddu in her hand, and she offered it to Madhu Mangal. And immediately understanding this, all the different gopis of Vrindavan, the cowherd girls, the braja, the elderly gopis, they all came with laddus. Some came with 2 laddus, 3 laddus, as many laddu, as many children. So Madhu Mangal was eating all the laddus and he was very happy. So he had all the laddus and everyone said, "So we will get the benediction as you mentioned, you ate all our laddus." And said, "Yes, for sure, as many laddus you offer to me, you may get that many sons. But I'll tell you, of all the laddus, the best laddu is Yashoda's laddu. Therefore, she will get the best son of all the sons." So this is a story of how the whole understanding of Braj is love for Krishna. In fact, Vishwarupa was mentioning the other day that Ramesh Chandra Goswami, who is worshipping, one of the families who worship Nandgaon, they came here for some program. And they were missing more. It looks like their time for worship had come and they were missing that time. So they were here and whenever they come, they bring a special laddu from Nandgaon. It's called as Banta Laddu, Banta Bhog. So they would get that and they would offer to devotees. So one day Vishwarupa asked them, "Can you make this for the deities here?" And Ramesh Chandra Goswami said, "Yes, we make them regularly there, so I can make." So he made a Banta Laddu here to offer it to the Lord. But after the laddu was offered and then devotees said, "But this laddu is not same as the laddu we get in Nandgaon." And Ramesh Chandra Goswami said, "Yes, because I made the laddu, I also make laddu there, but only difference is there, actually I am just making laddu externally. The real laddu is made by Mother Yashoda. So that missing factor is here also. So therefore that Banta Bhog is not same as the Banta Bhog made here." So the whole understanding is go beyond rituals, right? We have one more example in the Krishna book that how the Yajna Patnis and their husbands, two examples, different examples in the same house. Krishna sent his cowherd boys to go to the Yajnik Brahmanas and ask for some food. And they were all performing these ritualistic yajnas. So the boys went and asked that Krishna and Balaram are very hungry. Kindly give some food. And Brahmana said, "Oh, get lost from here. We are very busy in this yajna. Can't you see?" So they all come back dejected. And Krishna says, "Don't worry. When you go for begging, you should not be dejected." Right? Now we are doing begging now. Janmashtami donation. You should not be dejected. So they said, "Now you go to Yajna Patnis. And go and ask Yajna Patnis. And they will surely give you everything." So they go back and the same thing they tell Yajna Patnis. So Krishna and Balaram are around and they are hungry. And they want food. And whatever is prepared at home for the yajna, immediately they take everything and they run towards Krishna Balaram. And Krishna Balaram immediately asks them, hey, you came here? What will happen to your husbands? They are doing yagya, and all this bhoga is for yagya. So don't. Well, the purpose of yagya is to satisfy Vishnu, and you are here calling us by giving you this bhoga. Krishna, you are satisfied. The yagya is also done. So there is two examples in the same family: the yagya patnis and the yagya brahmanas. Now our Vaishnava Acharya has mentioned that when the yagyic brahmanas realized their mistake, they all came running and begged forgiveness from Krishna, and they very much extolled the glories of their wives. But Vishwanath Chakra Thakur mentions they begged for forgiveness, but they did not surrender to Krishna that time. Why? Because they were afraid of Kamsa. You see, the yagyic brahmanas were staying on the outskirts of Vrindavan, just close to Mathura's border. And they are worrying, if the Kamsa watches them surrendering to Krishna, what will happen to them? So with that fear, they did not surrender to Krishna. So initially, the Jnana Avaran did not make them surrender to Krishna, because they were very ritualistic, karma kand and all those things. When that Avaran was removed, then there was a Bhaya Avaran, the fear concept. We did not let them surrender to Krishna. But it was not so with the Yagya Patnis. They had no fear, because they had heard about Krishna from the Brajavasis, who would come nearby, the sellers, the water, the flower sellers, the fruit sellers, the markets. They would go and hear about Krishna, and they would develop faith on Krishna based on that. Parallel to this, there is another example of in Mathura, where Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd friends of Krishna, they go to Mathura when Akrura takes them. And then Krishna tells Akrura that I will meet you later, but now I have to go and see around the city of Mathura. And then you go and see that how Krishna and Balaram are walking in Mathura along with the cowherd boyfriends. And all the friends of Krishna become very conscious that they are now in the city of Mathura. So they tell Krishna, Krishna, do you see something different in us and the city goers here? Krishna says, what is the difference? You see, we are cowherd people. We are wearing cowherd dress. It doesn't fit in the city atmosphere here. We need some dress which looks like a city dress. So Krishna said, don't worry. Let's go. So Krishna goes on the banks of Yamuna, and there is Rangakar, right? Rangakar is a person who dyes clothes. In the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned as washerman. But actually, he's not washerman. He is Rangakar, one who fixes up the dye of the clothes. So Kamsa, for the this great assembly of Rangabhumi, for which Krishna was called, had arranged for beautiful clothes for himself. But before wearing the clothes, Kamsa had sent in for fixing the dye. So this Rangakar was fixing a dye on the banks of Yamuna. So Krishna went and said, sir, we don't have good clothes. Can you give us these clothes? And the result was that this Rangakar, he became very angry and said, how dare you ask for Kamsa's clothes? If at all Kamsa comes to know, then he will kill you immediately. So Krishna becomes very much unhappy, because this is what his friends want. So Krishna, just by his bare hands, he knocks off the head of this Rangakar. And immediately the Rangakar is killed. Then Krishna picks up, says, whatever you want to pick up, just pick up all the dresses you want. And all the cowherd boy picks up all the dress, whatever matching color, whatever they want. And they pick up and trying to wear, but the clothes don't fit in, because they are as per the size of Kamsa, right? And they're all cowherd boys. So Krishna walks in with those clothes, and the next person he finds is the tailor. He goes in the house of tailor and said, we have come here, please stitch this cloth as per our size. And the tailor is very happy. The washerman, the Rangakar, was not happy, but the tailor is happy. Right? Everyone is getting opportunity, but someone is using that opportunity to serve Krishna, and someone just ritualistic doing his own seva and puja and all those things. So he immediately stitches the clothes as per the sizes, and everyone is wearing new beautiful clothes, and they are walking in now on the roads of Mathura, watching all the city. And immediately Krishna says, well, we have all the clothes, but we are cowherd people, and cowherd people like to wear flower garlands. So without flower garlands, we don't have much of a decoration on our body. So they look around, they find Sudama the florist, and they enter his house and ask for garlands. And immediately Sudama weaves beautiful garlands for Krishna Balaram, and also for each and every cowherd boy. And they wear all the garlands, and they're walking. And as they come to the gate of Kamsa's gate, where the palace of Kamsa is, And immediately they find Kubja coming in. And Kubja is carrying what? Sandalwood pulp. Sandalwood pulp. And Krishna says, what best, you know, we got our clothes, they got stitched up properly, we got garland, and next thing is sandalwood. And Krishna asks, can I get the sandalwood? And here is Kubja, right at the gate of Kamsa, completely fearless. That sandalwood pulp was supposed to be for Kamsa. Maybe Kamsa was waiting there for the sandalwood pulp. And Kubja takes all the courage, offers all that sandalwood to Krishna, Balaram and all the coward boyfriends. So this is in contrast to Kubja, right in front of Kamsa's gate, offering whatever she has. And the Yagyik Brahmana, so much attached to the rituals, that forget the purpose of the ritual is to satisfy Krishna. So this understanding is given here, that within the ritual is also the purpose of the ritual. The demons who are so much dedicated to their demigods or their worshippers, they forget the purpose. And as a result, they get messed out with the rituals and forget the purpose of the rituals. So therefore Krishna is speaking to Uddhava here, that the person who is too much into ritual, he is like trying to see the sun or trying to see the sky in the presence of fog. He will not be able to see anything. You will only be able to see only fog, nothing else. The clarity will not be there. So time and again in our Vedic literatures, it is mentioned that how one should go beyond the rituals and understand the purpose of the rituals, and he should try to please. The purpose of all the Vedas is to serve Krishna and please Krishna. And if one is able to do that, then even if he is not able to do rituals, there is no problem. At least he is able to serve the purpose of the ritual, that is Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.